I love these mornings, don't you? When we come and have breakfast together. I don't know what it is. I think perhaps it's breaking bread together. You know what I mean? It's like really breaking bread together, isn't it? It's what Jesus told us to do, come and break bread together. And that's what we're doing. And Jesus probably didn't eat bacon, mind you. But he might have done, but he probably didn't. Because it wasn't kosher, was it? But it's great, isn't it, to be together and to be with him. So that's what it is. It's something special, being with God's people and eating, because we're like feeding in so many different ways. So there's something wonderful, I think, about doing these breakfasts. Let's read from 1 John, the encounter with Jesus today is the encounter with Nathanael and Philip and Nathanael. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to read from John 1, where it is where it's found. I'm just going to read the first verse because I like to see things in context. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And if we skip a few verses down to verse 43, says this: the next day Jesus decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him, he said, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That's the end of the reading. As someone said once many years ago when I was preaching, that's the best thing you're going to hear in this sermon, is the Word of God being read. Because it's pure and it's perfect, and it's not my opinion. That's God's Word. It's so important to take in God's Word and read it. Jesus, the Word of God. Jesus was and still is God. And when we were singing that song about the Lamb upon the throne, he wasn't put on the throne after he died on the cross and came back to life. He was already on the throne because he's God. Yeah, in him was life, and that life was a lot of men. So it's God. God was present. And I'm stunned by the words of Jesus, both in the Bible and those spoken personally through his Word to me and for others. And I ask that question: am I stunned enough? Am I stunned that God bothers to speak to me? Am I stunned that Jesus bothers to speak to me? I think sometimes I'm not stunned enough. That's what God does. He speaks to me. But actually, we should be stunned, shouldn't we, that this God speaks to us. You know, let's not lose the awe and wonder of that. That actually you can walk along the street and God will speak to you. God, the one who made heaven and earth, has always been there. You won't always be there. I won't always be there. But he speaks to me. so clearly sometimes. It's amazing. Okay, went out great atmosphere. Yeah? We want to tell people. I was talking to McQueen earlier. He was telling me about the fun he's had going to Preston and where else was it? Oh, Manchester. And it's great. And he was enthusing over what he'd been and the people he'd seen and the great time he'd had. That's good. He'd had it. I could tell he'd had a great time. As soon as he started, big smile come on his face and he's telling me all about it. Yeah? And because we just want to tell people, don't we? When's that great Sabbath? You have a great holiday. Me and Susan were in New York and we, because visiting my sister, of course, and we went up this big building and they showed it. They were showing up the top of the big building. They were showing us this sort of scenes and how things work out and the things you might see. And then suddenly, this is amazing, suddenly the screen went like this. And suddenly you could see the scene. Yeah, they'd lifted the window because actually we were standing against the window and they covered it up. And he went, and everybody went, oh! The whole crowd. And he went, now you can go look at it. And it was just like we saw it and everybody went, oh! And what a great experience, you know. So if you ever go to New York, go up the big tower up there, you know, and the one they put instead of the One World Tower, go up there and it happened to you. Man, it's just amazing. Sorry I'm giving it away. But it's great. It's great. Because it's a surprise that you'd have forgotten it by then. But it's great going up there. When we first got married, and I don't know if you probably know this, when I struggled with getting married again. Because I'd had a great marriage for 33 years. So it was very difficult to get married again. Was my next marriage going to be as good? And remember we discussed that. And we went, oh, no, because we've got no history, have we? It's not weird. With this age, and we've got no history. I was 60, getting on 60. And I'm thinking, but this week, I'll be married 10 years. Isn't that great? And I keep wanting to tell people. It's gone so quick. And because it is a great marriage, that's the point. It has turned out to be great. And Susan, I'll show you a eternity ring that we bought. Because I wanted to buy something, because I wanted a market. So, and it was great fun. I want to tell everybody that I bought this ring. And we went and got this ring when we found it, and we found the ring we wanted. Yeah? But it was just the fun of doing it together, because I love doing it. You know, we love doing it. It was a great memory. And it's great. And Philip had something to tell his friend, didn't he? So, and talking about God speaking to us, I nearly forgot that. While we were doing this, God kept speaking to me. I went into my toilet and we got these verses sticking up and we turn them over every day. And this one was there. Do not be anxious about anything, but present your request to God. I was just thinking when I was doing this sermon, what am I going to say to the people at Spark when I speak on the evening for the family night? And God said, do what you're doing. So I did the story I'm doing today on a sketchboard and Spark. And it did seem to work. But, you know, because God said, don't be anxious about it, just ask me. And God spoke to me. So while I was doing a sermon, God was speaking to me. I said, thank you, God, like you're doing it now. Speaking to me. That was really great. I didn't expect that. Talking about talking to God, Susan asked, I said to Susan, she said, I'm not sure whether we should go to Africa together, where I should come with you, because we booked to go to Nigeria in October. And she said, I'm not sure whether I want to go or whether I should go. So I said, well, don't worry about it, ask God. And so we went to a church in America. We went three times. We did three times the time before. And the guy said, I'm not going to preach today. And he had a mission team come on. And so little kids on there, one teenager and one younger child, was telling out what a great time they had. And one kid said, I wasn't sure whether to go, but I decided to go. So I reckon if you were thinking about going on a mission trip, you should go. This is a teenager. So Susan's thinking, oh, God's speaking to me. And the kid spoke to Susan after and went, no, you should go. And that good. You know, and Susan said, I didn't expect God to do that so quickly. But quickly he did. Even the pastor said, I've done my sermon. He said, but I decided to get the mission team on today because I've been down to somewhere in South America. Anyway, let's get a move on. I'm going to run out of time. Philip, very little detail. What did Jesus say? Follow me. And he doesn't even say he followed. I guess he did. But it's very small calling. Just one little thing. But straight away, Philip knows what he needs to do. And he's so excited about meeting Jesus, he goes to tell Nathanael, who's his friend. And who was, or had been, sitting under a fig tree. Because we're not sure whether he was sitting under a fig tree at that moment. Jesus mentioned it. But at some point, I wonder what he was thinking about under the fig tree. What was he going through? Sue suggested perhaps he was thinking about praying that Messiah might come. He might have been, but the Bible doesn't tell us. He might have been thinking about it. He might have been going through something really important or really struggling with something. He might have been struggling with temptation. We don't know. That's between him and Jesus, and you will never know. You can ask him when you get up there. Yeah? Big or small, we do contemplate struggles, don't we? There's things going on in our minds, you know, that bother us or whatever. But we don't know what he was going through. But Philip goes to him and said, we found the one that Moses written in the law, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. He got that wrong, didn't he? Jesus wasn't the son of Joseph. Interesting, isn't it? When we witness to people, you don't have to get it all right. But we do know to hold our faith with humility because we don't know everything. Yeah, but he didn't know that he wasn't the son of Joseph. Actually, he was being honest and telling what he knew. That's all we can do. As we go through the Christian life, we learn more. And we think, man, why did I think that before? Yeah, because we change. We're not going to change that Jesus died on the cross and came back to life. We know that. But there's some little things that we're going to learn. We're supposed to grow. Yeah, if you're not growing, you know, you're not alive, are you? Okay. These two Jewish men, they knew what these sentences contained. Yeah, yeah. The Messiah, the law, this is he'd been written about. Got a bit lost there. Just a second. But it's really important that we share with others what we know. Yeah. So don't be afraid. Share with others. Do what Nathan. I hope you're excited enough meeting Jesus to go, I want to tell other people. Yeah? But do it with humility. Be careful when you witness to someone. Be careful. He didn't know what Nathanael was going through. He probably wasn't waiting for a medical result. But when you speak to people, that might be happening. Yeah? So be careful. You never know what people are going through. They might have just lost a dear friend. A neighbour of mine came up to me the other day. He told me, I've lost my son. Yeah? That's a hard thing, isn't it? He's about my age, Kevin, and that was a tough thing for him to go through. He's still going through it now. They might be suffering from a mental breakdown. I know a bit about that. Some of us here do, don't we? Difficult things in the mind. The person you speak to might be just plain busy or stressed out. We were in the pharmacy the other day, and the pharmacist said to us, which was really lovely, don't get too stressed, because she knew we were going to go to Nigeria, and she knew that was a stressful thing. She even got one of the Nigerian guys in the pharmacy to come and talk to us about it. That's lovely, isn't it? But the point is, she said, don't get too stressed, it makes you sick. So be careful. She was being careful. So we ought to be careful when we talk to people. They might have lost work, lost home. We don't know when people... So talk to people gently about Jesus. He says, Nazareth? Anything come out of good come out of Nazareth? You know? Was it just rivalry? Was it a dump? I don't know. But the point is this, it might have been just that he supported Spurs and he didn't like Highbury, you know, or he supported Millwall and he don't like Charlton. But we don't know. But in the end, we don't know. But he says, anything good come out? And Philip, what does he say? Don't argue. He says, come and see. Come and have a look. So when people argue about Jesus, say, don't argue, mate. Just come and have a look. Yeah, read the Bible. Have a look. Yeah. That's why I always carry literature. So I was like, go, have a look. Because in the end, you've lost nothing, have you? Not just church. Give them a Bible. Carry a Bible with you. We like giving Bibles to people. I've been encouraged even more since Susan's done this Good News for Everyone thing. Give them a Bible. Have a look for yourself. Jesus saw Nathanael coming. What does he say to him? Here's a man who's no deceit in him. Who's an Israelite and no deceit. I think Nathanael seemed to bristle at that point a bit. How do you know me then? when I met you before. And then Jesus took the wind out of his sails, didn't he? And says, I saw you when you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you. Before Philip called you. So it might have been at the time, but actually, at some point, he was sitting under a fig tree. As I said, we don't know what he was thinking about. But I'll tell you what, I reckon Nathaniel suddenly went, blinking heck, this guy knows everything about me. He knows what I was thinking. He saw me. And what's he say? He said, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. He realised. And what did Jesus say to him? He speaks right into his heart, doesn't he? Because he says to him, you got no deceit. So he speaks about his heart. That's the first miracle. Second miracle, I saw you under the fig tree. Speaks about a physical thing. Tells him he knows what he's thinking about. Why did Jesus say that? I still suspect that Nathanael was contemplating something important, whether it be the Messiah or whether it be just a problem. Now, there was something special between Nathanael and Jesus, wasn't there? We don't know what it was. Isn't it great that there's something special between us and Jesus? And there is, because he knows all about you and he cares for you, even the things you get wrong. I sometimes have to tell myself that. Even though I've got it badly wrong, he still cares. Jesus knows everything, our thoughts, our worries, our temptations, even our sinful thoughts. But he loves us, his people, and he understands everything. Nothing is hidden. And he's so stunned, Nathanael is so stunned, he said, Rabbi, you're the Son of God, you're the King of Israel. And then Jesus says to him, you believe because I saw you under the fig tree. You're going to see even greater things than this. You're going to see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What's he referring to there? Do you know? Do you know the story? Jacob. What was Jacob? He was the deceiver. It means deceiver. He just said to Nathanael, here's a man with no deceit in him. Interesting, isn't it? There's a connection there. Here's a man with no deceit. There was a man with deceit, and he saw it. So you're going to see even greater things. Did he see it? Yes, he did. Because that picture of the ladder to heaven was a picture of what Jesus was going to do. He was going to open up heaven. How did he do that? He died on a cross. He opened heaven. Because now heaven is open. Yeah? Now we can speak to God any time you like. The curtain in the tent is rent, and you've got access to God. We've got access to God. He saw that. He saw that happen. He saw Jesus die on a cross and come back to life, and Jesus opened heaven that instant. And it's open to you and me today, and we can commune with him. That's why we need to be like Philip and tell as many as possible. He said to Nathanael, look what's possible. And Jesus will speak to them too. When we share the gospel, Jesus will speak to people. He's speaking through you when you share the gospel. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for those who believe. Just tell them that Jesus died and he came back to life. God will speak to them because that is the power of God. Don't forget. Don't be anxious about it. Just say to God, please help me. And he'll bring people to you that you can share the gospel with, like Philip. Philip wasn't the greatest evangelist, was he? He didn't know anything. He just said, come and see. Come and see. Thank you. God bless.